I want to thank everybody for coming. Today we're going to hear from Alex Caldiero, Utah's premier poet and sinosopher. Alex is senior artist in residence at the Utah Valley University, and he has a brand new book called Some Love, and we're going to hear some of the poetry from that.
All right, thank you.
Listen, in keeping with the high academic scholarly atmosphere that we're in, what I'd like to do is more of what I've been calling a performative lecture, which is this. I'm going to first take you to the center of the subject. And then, since I've been given so much time, which is good, I want to, after getting to the center of it, I think I would like to engage you in talking about it. You know what I mean? About it. Now, if you notice, most of these sessions, all you get is about it. Okay? And that's about it. That's the plan. I want to thank you for being here. And especially, I'm very grateful for Signature Books for publishing this book and the wonderful job that they've done with it, especially the design department. No, the designer, Francis. I'm really blown away by it. Some Love, Part 1. Your eyes are beautiful. They match. Bob Hope in Road to Utopia. Your hair is a labor nymph. They lock the door. Well, I did want everybody on lockdown because I didn't want anybody to leave, but I thought that there was the understanding that it'd be only a one-way lock. You know, is that locked right now? Yeah, they should be locked in, not locked out. Yeah, thanks. Your hair is a laborman's. I can never hope to get out of it. This is the beginning of a love poem. I'll just leave it at that. Death found him working, too beautiful to interrupt, almost. Among the books, all covered with ashes, he looked for her image in between the pages. Don't bother to become more beautiful. Ignore the warning that he might be lycanthropous. In seeking gratification, woman is no keener, man no blinder. Between wishful thinking and clear perception, there is a gulf that resembles the mouth of all the women you will never kiss. My shoes know how hard it is to be without each other. So why can't we learn that contrary is okay? Left, right, there. It's what makes them useful to each other and to that other who goes for a walk. If, and only if, there is such a thing as communication at a distance, through the intervention of no medium save thought itself, by the mind fixed on its projection toward its object by no rational or obvious or known method, other than the force that impels it, propels it, as it were, out across, through, or translates it to the air, borne as if on wind or wing through its destination by no other means or conductor than the desire of the projector, who is both feeler and means for it to spell the message of my heart to the inner ear of she who is far, both in thought and place, by now out of mind except for some chance recollection randomized among life's various objects, take heed and let enter as thought and yearning. One day a hurt hits with a fact and a sorrow. It made me want not to write. It made me want to go away, to cry in the arms of a lover. Past words said and actions you can't take back, not even in a next life. On that day, you choose the one who comes to undo you. Eyes with nothing besides them, their eyes, they look at me. Even after you're gone, I'm in their gaze. I close my eyes, your eyes open. I stare as long as I want. Can't get your eyes out of my eyes. Yes, let there be light. Some Love, Part 2. It's because an action has not been completed that it is vile. Jean Genet. Flowers keep me talking about the garden. An erection complicates the embrace. I write my pain, and the words have no flow. I write my pain, and the words have no flow. Your hatred fits you like a nameless outfit. Confessing my love is not unlike asking forgiveness for a crime I didn't commit. Make your bed now, sleep on it. Make you beg now, weep for it. Break your leg, now creep to it. No matter how much you hurt, be specific. Cross between bite and kiss. Days later, I still taste you. For the nipple told me everything I ever wanted to know. Manage, menage, mirage, marriage. Old fires end in meaningful ashes. How it is. Only eyes can account for what happens in mirrors. Her breasts discourage infantilism. Dreamt I kissed you near your lip, woke up wanting to eat ripe quince. Naked skin is just the beginning. Take off your armor and be amorous. You are so much on my mind. You have thoughts of your own there. Gift, once and forever long ago, an ancient farmer gifted us a bouquet of oregano. Her mouth on my mouth, in old age, I'll smile and not know why. Some Love, Part 3. Women are strangers in the country of man. Laura Ryden Jackson. You find a companion for a part of you. What will the rest of you do? What if the other also finds in you only a part and has no use for the rest? If you were to find someone in their totality, how would you explain the antipathy that might arise by chance or just as part of the picture? Accept me as I am doesn't always work. Change me into your ideal is no better. Myriad forms of misogyny alienate you from your own flesh. Unknown part of myself constantly out of view, yet ever at my side she walks, all that is different and that I am not, my fear incarnate, a warning from my mother about her own sex, name I called out in the night, closer than my juggler, more intimate than any autoeroticism, knowledge betrayed. And it's as the old lady says, women are strangers in the country of man. And Solomon, seeking after strange women, is clear. And the patriarchal injunction against foreign women is obvious. The gypsy, a type for that which calls a man to wander. Marlena Dietrich, giving Rayma Land a pair of golden earrings, piercing his ears. The nature of woman, second to his, where second is primal, if not first. A vow taken in eternity to be the other. Or as the old crone says, a what you may call it, a thingamajig, a what's her face, or what's her name, O ancient one with a sense of bitter delight in truth-telling, with an I don't know what joyous verbiage, a Kabbalist dream in plain language, no uncertain terms and no uncertain terms, terminating each word with another all the way into the reader's head, strings attached with no strings attached, attachments and emotions pressed out into the open daylight, hues of midnight glare, of Gaspar David Friedrich Moonglow, quiet eyes, not quite closed, matriarch, not boastful prowess, not dormant, less strange, even less so in the next millenniums, together at last romanticisms, end of uselessness, that doesn't contradictingly favor either. Only promiscuous hands would say more. Some Love, Part 4. If you think we're together, you're a poor judge of distance. Mae West, in Belle of the 90s. How careful should I be with emotions that would unscramble every letter of my alphabet? Perhaps then I could learn another language. We choose not to, and there's heartache. We choose to, and there's heartache. Not in the habit of making known what is closest to the marrow. Feelings go where possibilities go when they are impossible. Under a face or under a stone, the doctor recommends wine. Drink and uncover. The more this man burns, the weaker his sex drive. At first he couldn't understand. Then he concluded that hidden forces were at work. He began to comprehend how devotees could go into fits and castrate themselves. How monks could keep vows of chastity beyond human endurance. I bring my hand up and across and caress your face. I've traversed an ocean, traveled from one planet to another, all the while beside you, an impossible arm's length away. Did I swallow it in my sleep as I opened my mouth to say your name? Was it placed in my chest by some joker to see me laugh at my own pain? Did it pass from mouth to mouth when you slipped me the kiss that caught me unaware? Oh, soften this aching stone. The fox is a good omen, but you don't believe in omens. The twin-tailed comet is a bad sign, but you don't believe in signs. You pick up the penny and give it to me. You don't believe in luck, but you know I do. I break in no time, but you bear words as you bear seed, taciturn, till your body betrays you. A man's silence and a woman's silence have nothing in common. If what lips say contradicts what lips do, which are you going to believe? There's no one from whom to ask permission for words that make breathing less mechanical, or feelings that take us into deeper aching. Some Love, Part 5. Forget about me, Kong. Can't you see this is never gonna work? Jessica Lange in the King Kong 1976. Round trip. Make him think you want him. Make him want you so bad. Make him feel he has you. Make him smell your clothes. Make him touch a little skin. Make him see you up close. Make him say what you want. Make him move over and over. Make him ache. Make him bleed. Make him dream about you. Make him pine. Make him long. Make him sweat around you. Make him have fantasies, hopes, expectations, then do nothing but have him where you want him, where he willingly has planted his foot, and by every little thing you do that adds up to nothing, that promises everything, including the moon, but delivers nothing but hurt, so deep it don't hurt, so deep it don't seem like anything is happening, so down deep it don't feel like anything at all, until he's alone, then it all come up. Then it all come out. It's only then, alone, that the truth of the situation is evident. Where there should be body, there's nobody. Where there should be voice, there's a chasm and a wall so high you can't see over. You can't stand on anything to see over it. So you stand on your own shoulders, in your mind, and see over the wall you can't see over, and see that it's over there where you can never go. So you enter a capsule in your mind and go to where you can never go, and know for yourself you are not there. So you make a little room in your mind and step right into where you are not, and find you aren't. But that's not all. In the middle of the floor is a pool. You think, how could such a little bit of blood do that? Coming out of you a droplet at a time, unnoticeable until you look down. Is it coming out of your nose? Is it coming out of your side? Is it coming out of your ear? Is it coming out of you at all? Is it coming from someplace you don't know? So you take a step back in your mind, a step back to the moment you met, and you're face to face, eyes to eyes. You see what she sees. What she sees is not you. She don't know you, never saw you from the beginning. You didn't exist. You never got out of yourselves to begin with. This is where it gets tricky. Don't deny it. This is where it gets murky. Don't fight it. You didn't exist for each other, so you went into your mind and made something. And what you made you you. Made her who you made her in an instant. And now, in an instant, you can make her make her think you want her. Make her want you so bad. Make her feel she has you. Make her smell you up close. Make her touch a little skin. Make her see you close up. Make her say what you want. Make her move over and over. Make her ache. Make her bleed. Make her dream about you. Make her pine. Make her long. Make her sweat around you. Make her have fantasies, hopes, expectations. Then do nothing.
Fire knows your name. Says she's got something on her mind. Don't tell, don't tell. Because there are two candles don't mean there are two flames. The mirror tells the same old lie. Don't stop, don't stop. Light ends in invisibility. Table for two with one chair. The room is in the middle, as far up as down, as far left as right. You played there as a child, only to leave when you recognized the door. The room disappears from under your feet, yet there is no falling. You're dreaming the words you're telling me without knowing what language. It'd be helpful if you would return my heart back to my body. I couldn't laugh anymore. My mouth became a sore. Words were cancerous growths on my skull, and you were my shadow who never could move in sync with my body. I couldn't sing me and my shadow without feeling betrayed and made to look foolish in the semi-darkness alone, thinking that maybe I wasn't. I'd make signs and gestures to simulate scary creatures so I would be less afraid of the night. Song. Make sure the eyes don't meet. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Numbers and words line up. It's just as well you don't. Nothing but eyes close tight. You are the one to freeze. cut off alone, and still you'll never know what hit. There now you see, don't you see it coming for you? What it is not clear. What it does is not known, but its origin is you. From you to you and back. Don't say can't be, it is. Don't try to leave, you can't. Tongue tied, don't look into our eyes. So, we found out how babies were really made. And what really went on behind closed doors or in the other side of the dark screen. We finally understood what it took for a cloud to be formed, and what the lightning bolt actually looked like, the shape of the earth, and the size of the sun in a red portion of our world. You could say that the world is so big, and we so small, that if we fall asleep, its perfume could suffocate our heavy meat mind. Words know they can enter through the eyes or ears and be near you in ways I can never hope to be. They can stand naked in front of you as natural as flowers. Words can touch you with hands you'd never turn away and kiss your mouth as you read them out loud to yourself. The freedom they enjoy with you, I can't imagine. Words want nothing to do with me when it comes to you. They know I can't bear to think them so close to your most intimate thoughts. They insisted that I send you this, and I have. In the goofy morning light, a hand holds itself. Last night in moist sleep, tongues came home to roost. Mouth language understood too quickly and forgot. Flavors of past wines, another kiss come home. Before silence's open door, chastity keeps still. Hands begin to do what bodies dare not. Some Love, Part 6. You're easy to dance with, Fred Astaire and Holiday Inn. She asked me with my mouth, do you think about me? Yes, I said, also with my mouth, I think about you almost every day. And you? I said, wanting to really know, but without moving my lips. Yes, she said, also without moving my lips, I think of you often and wish I could say more, but dare not. You don't know how I get. Then she added, forgive me if I don't respond. She said this using my mouth, and with my mouth I said, I'm trying to understand why this must be so. I stopped moving my lips. I could feel the tooth that had been worked on. I could feel the tongue searching for the taste that swore it wouldn't ever forget. It finally found it in the middle of my bottom lip, still there, impossible to taste. Tasted with tongue tip, and with tongue I could speak it back to her, moving her lips, mouthing the words with her voice as she dreams what I'm saying, speaking it out loud in the morning, remembering and saying it again with her mouth, with my tongue, with her voice, with my words, without questioning, moving our mouths together, coincidentally, words and both of us say equally, you, she, me, then, when, us, may, other clear, some, or cross over, some, too long, now, for, now, who, boom, too far, my arm, for, raining. I found your name, hidden in texts of my own making long before we ever met. Your name and also directions to your house of cards I dare not approach. To your gossamer hair I undo with my breath, not moving my mouth. In tongues. When my tongue meets your tongue, it wants to play tag. It wants to play hide and seek. Then, fatigued, it would lie down in its own moist bed, alone to dream in flavors. Admit that we are together by chance, that another combination is as possible, that there is no one and only, that we will be caught with our hearts laid bare. We is not a word for us, and us not a word for both, and both not a word for two, and two not a word for the number of those who would count themselves together in the same breath and thought, or stand next to each other on the same ground, one on one, or one to one, or one another, or another one. Admit, we are together by chance. Another combination is as possible. There is no one and only. We will be caught with our hearts laid bare.
Part 7.
One year from later, it's not gonna matter that he got hurt, that she was unfair, that falling down seemed a good idea. We put it in a sack, drove out to the open sea, took a boat 10 miles out, dropped the sack into the icy water. This morning, there it is at the door. We are more than horrified. Unless you mistake what you say for what you will, and find the answer before the question, once your words decide to sing, you make sense only when you laugh. Words want so much to speak to you, they come together as this mind and approach you as one does another who may seem rude, but is just full of anxieties. Twenty-5 years to learn to speak, another 25 to know what to say, 25 more to say it. When Cupid lashes out, don't try to protect yourself. Bear the whipping. No way you can come out unscathed. Bite down hard when Cupid lashes out. Because I was so sure of the meaning of the word, I didn't look it up. But maybe I should have, because the one I heard was not the one she spoke. Communication is complex, multi-layered, and at times labyrinthian, and it's not unusual to lose your way when she thickens the plot with a quick, wet kiss. To sleep not, wanting to sleep not, wanting to turn out the light, not wanting to read the mind's black scrawls. Five senses all say the same thing. Five senses all see the same thing. Senses all taste the same thing. All hear the same thing. Smell the same thing. I clear my throat before singing. My refrain, your avalanche, my clear day, your departure, my debacle, your sleeplessness. As if in death there could be answers, you utter your bleak thoughts, fearless of the black fixtures that you set up in your soul. Don't be a mind reader. Take and accept what comes your way with naturalness, humility, and yes, grace. You are part of the food chain. Nonchalantly, I open my side, take out my heart, hold it still beating in my hands, and insist that everyone come close and verify that this is no trick.
Some questions.
I mean, I don't know whether they'll be entertaining, but yeah.
He has a way with words.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, so did you have prepared discussion, or do you want to ask a question?
No, I prepared this.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's discussion that we didn't take super handle.
So, may I start?
Please.
Couple things. You make this look easy, and I know that it's not. Okay. I give a history paper yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was scared out of my mind. And I have a hard time delivering, even though I read the damn thing 50 times. Right. So I appreciate what we do. Some level, but I still don't understand how you're able to do it.
Well, definitely by preparing as little as possible. That's the problem. You just said it. You know, way, way overthinking, way over preparing. You know, anytime I do, it just terrifies me. Yeah, I'd rather, for instance, you know that this is the third time you've heard me read the same poems. But not. Because as I walked in here, I was taking into account just where everybody was going to be sitting, how many people were going to be present. You know, I decided not to use the drum at all because it was going to be a little more intimate. And I could go without, you know, with the spaces carrying the poems as they do in the book, you know, where the little poem is standing there and then the space. So I was constructing it as I walked into the room and as I was going into the living presence of who was going to be here. you know, and I didn't want to sit behind here anymore, you know, and this I only decided, this is all last minute, you know, I decided to move over here to get out of this kind of wall behind thing, you know, because of what the nature of the thing. If I would have read it behind there, it would have been a whole other thing. Really, it would have. You know, there were some things, some poems that I passed up. There were some poems that I put forth. I mapped this out, you know, so I can change the order of things and see what is alive in the situation. So that's a very thing of this performative aspect to it. The lecture part of it, yeah, I can make it as intellectual as I want. Yeah, I can go into as many, the history of this, the influence of this, you know. But for me, this part of the thing is more of this interaction with what you were thinking, what you were thinking. And what you were thinking is completely groundless. Yeah, you know, this grand preparation. Yeah, as Picasso says, how do you know what to paint? It's by painting. Yes?
Could you tell us a story about when you were a boy in Sicily?
Yeah, I can give you a short version. When I was a child, I used to play dead. It was one of my favorite games, was to play dead. And so, I'd get down on the ground, you know, cross my hands, and kind of just lay back by the olive trees. We had a vineyard outside of our town, and that was my favorite place to play dead. You know, we used to go there around September when we picked the grapes. My grandmother and my uncles and everybody, all the kids, we picked grapes and then bring them into town, and yes, there was the actual stompers. This is 1951, 55, 56. They still used to do it that way. You know, so we would see. And then my grandmother used to make a brandy out of the remainder, you know, the pulp. Yeah, she used to hang them up in these sacks, you know, and skill it and make brandy out of that. And my grandmother influenced my life even up to 10 seconds ago. And continues to be ever present with me. And so therefore, last year when I did have, and I've had several confrontations with death, for one reason or another, maybe some health issues, you know, it was basically, you know, you're prepared. And you should be prepared. You know, and I think my childhood in Sicily prepared me for death in a way that it's hard to explain. When I was 6 years old, I saw my first dead person that I knew was dead. It was a very good friend of mine who had died. He was a little kid. You know, and of course, you mustn't send your kids. No, you bring your kids. And I kept looking at him because it was at home. That was the funeral parlor, was at home in his bed, in a room where we had played with him dozens of times. And I kept thinking one thing. What is this thing called death that allows you to hold your breath for so long? Wow. I was completely baffled and fascinated. And the other thing I knew that death gave you that power. The other thing I knew was that I was never going to play with it ever again. That's my childhood.
So deep inside me. So if I'm trying to figure out how to
you use the words so beautifully that I feel at such a loss to try.
They're
to
the five grade words.
They're
just, five grader.
But something about them, the way you put them together, has the ability to just go so deeply. So this is my question to you. I bought books of poetry. Is this book available here? Your book? See, I'm going to go buy that.
Thank you.
But here's the dilemma that I face as I. So much of what I just heard and what I felt is because of your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, how, first of all, what a life, obviously, to be able to put that, all that feeling into so few words, you know. But now I'll get your book and I'll read it. And maybe because I've been here, I will have a more of a
Yeah, you've been
experience.
Spoiled.
I've been spoiled.
You can't judge anymore.
Right.
You can't judge
but
anymore.
But when I buy other books of poetry, I just, there's something so, is there a way to bring some of what we've experienced here today into the reading when you're sitting on your swing?
Yeah,
just reading?
I think that that's a very good question, very fair question, and it's something that I take into consideration. You see how I never read the same thing twice in the same order, and I make concessions for the place. Well, I look at the page as another place. So when I'm putting down something on the page, I know that it's not a room full of living people. So therefore, I have to deal with that context on its own level. The page is a whole other place, and it takes a whole other way of achieving the same thing. Right, or the same communication. So that's what I try to do. It helps very much when, as I said in my first comments, when you have a designer. Usually I design my own books. It drives people crazy when they work with me, because I'm impossible to work with. Unless you're a good designer. Unless you've got balls. And you're designing from a real place. You know, because the first design this guy comes up with, you know, Francis, he's a sweetheart, you know, but I could tell in 2 seconds he was way too young, but he was going to get, but he had a real talent. And I told him the first design, I said, listen, this really sucks. You know, and let me tell you why this sucks. You know, it sucks because if I mention hand, you got a picture of an anatomical of a hand. If I mention this, you know, I got, God forbid, why, there's a place I mentioned testicles, and lo and behold, I went to the thing, and he had the thing with the testicles. I go, this is why it sucks. Now, he's a real designer. He's a real artist. Right? He said, let me get back to you in a couple of days. And he came back with a design that takes into consideration, right? Respects the space, respects the structure, the sculpture of each piece. So I would dare say that because of that, and because of the lines and the breaks, and every comma, and every period, and everything like that, then you're going to get something from it, akin to this, because it's another environment.
I like the testicle page. I said I enjoyed the testicle page.
Oh.
I felt bad when you lost it.
See? You mean he didn't like the testicle piece? That would have been a sure-footed. But it, you see what I mean? It was a rendering too literal. Now, the heart thing at the cover, that worked for me immediately. That was an immediate thing because it's a one-shot deal, right? And I like the blur, what he was doing with the blur. You know, the red blood and the blue blood. Blood bleeding out, and you know, blood is blue, and then, and this kind of ambiguity between two people, the complexity, you know, the blur, that a relationship is a blur if you're really in a relationship. You know, if you think you're in a relationship and everything is clear cut, you're not in a relationship. I tell you right now.
Now that brings me to my expression. Are you in a relationship?
All the time.
All the time.
Of course.
But do
you understand?
Have a, do you
yes.
Have a, do you
and
have
she's
a,
very significant, even though she is the other.
I sense that you must
be. And will be forever the other. Because that is the nature of man and woman.
Right.
You know, but it's simply the other side.
Right.
You see, this is, it's not the other in the sense of, you know, an alien.
Can I ask one more? I'm just curious when you write, because there's so few words that mean so, they're so huge. So few words mean such a big thing. So do you start with words and pare them down? It just
very, 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 very few times. Most of the time, it's most, you know, there's a beautiful way of the way Athena was born. She was born from Zeus's head, fully armored, bang, like that. That's when it works best. And that's when most of those poems work best. You know, when there's, when nothing, when the words don't get between you and your feelings, between you and your thought, when nothing gets in between anything. Now, some of them, of course, are thought out, and I have nothing against editing. As a matter of fact, I'm a compulsive editor with some things that allow me to do that. And then there are some things, yes, that are set in stone. They come out set in stone. Bang, dang, boom.
How about your students? Do you see them evolve over a semester?
Definitely.
Or is that too short of a time?
No, no. I could see them evolve. I could see, you know, like, for instance, one of the classes that I enjoy most is because when I see these kinds of evolution is an upper division course that I give on the degeneration. That's what I'm offering this summer, in this coming fall, in which the topic itself already draws a certain kind of person, and then through it, you know, there's this evolving. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the day. Her name was Elaine. And it was so great because I was into rhyme, and it rhymed with all the right words. Pain. Rain. Oh my God, it was like I tapped into the, I go, wow. I know exactly how I feel about this woman, this chick, this girl. You know, we're about 11 years old. That, and I did, and people don't believe this. When I was 7 years old, I fell in love for the first time with a girl named Carmela. And I got some of my buddies together. This is from another dimension, talking about childhood, another time. Nobody does this. And I got some of my trusted buddies, and I went to serenade her at her window.
Oh,
at 7.
At 7 years old. Okay? I want you to know that I remember the moment very clearly. And you know what? It was so beautiful because sex had nothing to do with it. Damn. It was so wonderful because of that. And it's so clear to me. It's always very, very clear. And it teaches me, right, something about it.
That's some love.
Yeah, that's some love. And that
poem about
the
end. Okay, good. I thank you.
Thank you so much.